Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn, please, this morning to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew to start with, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I said last Sunday when preaching from Psalm 32, which was the recounting of David's traumatic, deep, emotional, and spiritual experience that he went through when he sinned against God in adultery and murder, and recounting of it afterwards, telling of his misery while he was in sin, and while he was not right with God, and then the great relief of his soul when he realized he'd been forgiven. It's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. I said it was one of the two saddest stories that I knew about in the Bible. I'm preaching from the other one today. Matthew chapter 26. Now I'm going to call your attention to three different passages of Scripture found in two different places. Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read verses 31 to 35. And then Luke chapter 22, just two verses there, verses 54 and 55. And then we'll come back to Matthew chapter 26 again. Now, if you didn't follow all of that, you can follow as I go along and as I read. I've chosen two verses out of the book of Luke, which are not found in the book of Matthew. Somebody said, why do we have four different gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? We don't. We have a fourfold gospel. We have four different human authors whom God used to give different emphases and include different details about the life and ministry of Christ. And when you put them all together, you have one complete gospel. God's Holy Spirit saw fit to include some things in the Gospel of Matthew, which was written for the Jews, by the way. Matthew presents Christ as King of the Jews, that are not found in Luke or in Mark. Luke presents Christ as the perfect man. Luke was a doctor. And he presents Christ as the perfect man. Mark presents him as the perfect servant. Mark is a very staccato gospel. It's the shortest of the gospels. And one of the key words is straightway. Jesus did this straightway. There's a lot of action. And John, of course, presents Jesus Christ as the Son of God and lays emphasis upon his deity. So some things are found in one gospel, not found in another. The Holy Spirit saw fit to put it together that way. And so I've chosen two verses out of the book of Luke in this story to add to the count in Matthew. I'm speaking this morning about the man, Peter, the Apostle Peter. Now follow me as I read this story. It's his sad story of his denial of Christ. Matthew, chapter 26, beginning at verse 31. This is right after the Lord's Supper, right after the upper room experience. It's shortly before the crucifixion. They had left the upper room and they were on their way to the Mount of Olives where the Garden of Gethsemane experience occurred and all of that. It's right after that upper room experience. It says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now turn to Luke chapter 22, verses 54 and 55. It's a few hours later now. They've gone down through the Kidron Valley and over to the Garden of Gethsemane. And they're about to take the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 22, verse 54 and 55. Then took they him. Now that's the servants of the high priest, the soldiers that have come, took Jesus. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the court and were seated together, Peter sat down among them. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 26. As I said, they've come to take Jesus. He's been taken on into the house of the high priest or the palace of the high priest. Peter first followed far off, and then he's seated with those who are the soldiers, those who hated Jesus. He's seated there warming himself outside the court. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the court. That's exactly where we left him in Luke. And a maid or a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said unto him, Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. As I said last Sunday, I think this morning now I've just read to you one of the two saddest stories that I know about in the Bible. I'm sorry that this story happened. I wish it never had happened. But since it did happen, I'm almost glad that it happened to the man to whom it did happen. I say that because it shows how a man who could be so strong could fall so low. A man who could stand for Jesus with all boldness, Peter was probably the boldest of all the disciples, could fall this low. I suppose if there's any verse of scripture that I would put sort of as a caption over the whole message, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, where Paul said, Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I believe God put this story in his word to warn every person here this morning of what potentially can happen to you. The strongest Christian, the oldest Christian, the one who knows the word of God the best, to the person who may be here this morning without Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now I want to go back and read this story and just call your attention to it and see why what happened did happen. Matthew chapter 26, let me begin again at verse 31. Jesus said to them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. It's quoting from an Old Testament passage of Scripture. But after I'm raised up again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. They'd just come through a very blessed experience. They'd had that upper room experience where Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them and gave them the wine and said how this spoke about his broken body and his shed blood. Judas had been pointed out as the one who was going to betray him. Jesus had washed their feet in that part of the communion service, and they'd been humbled before the Lord Jesus. And now they were leaving and they were going toward Gethsemane. And Jesus said, It's written, the shepherd's going to be smitten. And all the sheep are going to be scattered. And Peter immediately recognized and he said, Lord, and he said in this effect, Lord, didn't you see me here with this group? You ought to know me better than that. Though all men should be offended because of these other 10 fellows, Lord, if they are offended because of you, I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to leave you. If you look in this passage, you might circle it in your Bible. I've got it circled in verse 33. I've got it circled twice in verse 35. Peter said, I will not deny you. If I've got to die with you, I'll never deny you. Somebody said Peter had what some people call eye trouble. Not this kind of eye trouble. The perpendicular pronoun kind of eye trouble. I don't care what anybody else does, I'm going to stand. You see, Peter forgot for something for a moment. He forgot that the one to whom he was speaking, the one was the one who by his own confession was the incarnate Son of God. You remember when Jesus said, Who do men say that I am? Peter spoke up and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, you didn't figure this out by yourself. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who's in heaven. He's given you that kind of understanding. And Peter forgot all about the fact that the one who was standing before him was God manifest in the flesh, the one who in his mind's eye could look out into the future as easily as he could look into the past. And in his mind's eye, he could see Peter out there cursing and swearing and denying he ever knew Jesus. Peter forgot all about that. And he began to stand in his own strength and say, If I've got to die with you, I'll never deny you. I titled this message, The Path of Sorrow. That's where it always starts. My friend, if you're here this morning as a Christian, the place where a path of sorrow starts for a Christian is when the child of God says, Well, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I've had a good testimony. I've taught a Sunday school class. I've memorized the Bible. I never miss a service. So don't worry about me, Pastor. I'll be okay. I'll be able to stand. The moment that you and I begin to feel that we are anything except what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, when he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. The moment that you and I begin to believe that it is anything but by the grace of God, not only that we are saved, but that we are kept day by day by His power, and we are dependent upon Him, and we cast ourselves upon Him, and we cry out to Him day by day, oh God, keep me from sin, and keep me for Yourself, and make me the testimony You'd have me to be, both by my lips and my life. The moment we forget that, the moment we've started on a path of sorrow. I don't care whether you're an elder or a deacon, or whether you're a teen leader, or an Awana leader, or who you are. The moment you realize that you are held by the grace of God the same as the newest, weakest Christian, the moment you begin to forget that is the moment you start on a path of sorrow. The moment you begin to lean in any sense on the arm of the flesh, that moment you start on a path. And if you're here without Christ as your Savior, you're not saved. You've never come to Jesus Christ recognizing that you are a sinner before God and that you stand justly condemned before Him. And you've never received Jesus Christ as the one who died to pay the price of your sin and ask Him to give you the gift of eternal life. The reason you've not done it is because you've said, oh, don't worry about me. I'll get along all right. Don't worry about me. I'll take my chances with God. I'm just as good as the next fellow. Or all the other excuses that Satan might put in your mind. The moment you begin to stand in your own strength and think that you are sufficient apart from the grace of God and the salvation which is offered you in Jesus Christ, and my friend, you go on without Christ. Peter here began to stand in his own strength and say, Lord, don't worry about me. I'll never deny you. I've got to hurry on very quickly. A few hours later, as I said, they went down through the Kidron Valley and up the Mount of Olives and came to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that Judas came with those servants of the chief priests and the elders and came with clubs and swords, and they came with torches. They came to take Jesus. And verse 54 of Luke chapter 22 says, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Now, I haven't had time to read some of the intervening parts of the story. You remember when they came to take Jesus? The Bible says that they asked who Jesus, they were seeking for Jesus, and said, Jesus said, I am He. And when they started to take Jesus, the Bible says Peter whipped out his sword and started to kill a man. I know he cut off his ear, but as I've often said facetiously, I think Peter aimed right down here and he got right down here. I don't think he was aiming to cut off anybody's ear. I think he was going to kill a man. And Jesus rebuked him for it. I think he was a little bit perplexed and maybe even a little bit perturbed. I'm sure he was confused. But they took the Lord Jesus, and Peter and the disciples watched the men take Jesus away. And instead of Peter stepping up and saying, wait a minute, that's my Lord. He's done nothing wrong. If you take him, you take me too. If you're going to judge him, you judge me too. He didn't do it. He simply watched them take his Lord away, and he started to follow far off. That's always the second step on a path of sorrow. The moment you begin to stand in your own strength, you will then begin to try to follow Jesus Christ afar off. You who are a Christian, first thing you know, as you stand in your own strength, you'll begin to miss your times in the Word of God when you read the Word of God and pray every day and cast yourself on God to keep you by His grace and power. There'll be other things that enter in for which you're too busy. And you've got to take care of those things. And don't worry about me, I'll stand. So you begin to follow Him afar off. If you're here without Christ as your Savior, you probably like to follow Him afar off. You like to associate with Christian people. I know folks that are unsaved, and the best friends they've got are Christian people. People that have come to know Christ. And they sort of like to associate with those people. You like to go to church once in a while. But just so you don't get too close to Jesus, just so you don't come into reality with Him, follow Him afar off. I've got to hurry. It says in verse 55 that they took Jesus on into the palace. And then those who had taken Him captive build a fire. This was very early in the morning. Very early in the morning. Probably 2 or 3 o'clock or after that. And it was chilly. And so they build a fire. And the soldiers And the servants sat down around the fire to get warm. And it says, and Peter sat down among them. I think that's a significant statement. The Holy Spirit put that sentence in the Bible for a reason. I think it's indicative of Peter's spiritual condition at that time. You see, now the disciples were all gone. Jesus was out of the picture. He was alone with a group of men who had just taken Jesus Christ prisoner and who hated the Son of God. And Peter sat down there with them. Now back in Matthew chapter 26, it says that the first temptation came. I want you to notice, people, the first temptation to Peter to deny his Lord didn't come when they were back there in the upper room. No. Peter was with Jesus and all the disciples, and they were going through a very blessed experience. Temptation didn't come then. It didn't even come out there in the garden when they came to take Jesus. Nobody stepped up to Peter and said, look, are you one of his disciples? Peter had just took out a sword and tried to kill a man. I'm sure he would have said yes. Now the temptation comes when Jesus and all of his disciples are out of the picture and Peter is alone with a crowd that hated the Son of God. And notice the source from which the temptation came. It was just a little girl. A little girl. Something he never expected. It says a damsel came unto him. Now, this, as I said, was unquestionably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Maybe 4 the latest. What a little girl was doing up at that time of the day, I don't know. That time of the morning, I don't know. But she was there. Pardon me. And this little girl came to him. And she said to him, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. Put in our language, she'd have said, mister, you were with Jesus, weren't you? That's all she said. And Peter said, in effect, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know, man. And Peter didn't even know he'd sinned. The Bible says in the book of Mark, Mark records that the rooster crowed twice. The first time was right after the first denial. And Peter didn't even hear it. Meant nothing to him. Young person, you teens, I thank God for you. I want to tell you, the devil's not going to try to take you down when you're here in your youth group on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Not up here when you're singing before a group of kids or an audience like this. When you're with other Christian kids at a national youth conference or when you're here with teens that love the Lord here in this church, that's not when the devil's going to attack you. He's going to attack you when you're alone, either by yourself or there with that crowd at school or somewhere else that ridicule Jesus Christ and have no time for the gospel. That's when he's going to come. That's when he's going to come. And you as an adult, he's not going to come when we're here singing because he lives, I can face tomorrow. He'll come when you're there on the job with people whose mouths are filled with all sorts of vulgarity and profanity and all of that sort of thing, and ridicule and laugh at your Savior. That's when he'll come. Amen. Or when you're by yourself. The devil's no fool. And you who say, I can go on without Christ, I don't need the Savior, I want to tell you, potentially within you is the vilest kinds of sin. You say, I don't need the Savior. I want to tell you, the devil can take you down at a time when you never expect it. There's a service going on tonight in Atlanta and other places like it all around the country. It's called the Atlanta Rescue Mission. It's called the Evansville Rescue Mission in Evansville, Indiana. It's called the Pacific Garden Mission in South State Street in Chicago. It's called the Bowery Mission in New York. And all over this country, there's places like that where men and women who've come in for a night of sleep and something to eat have to listen to the gospel, whose lives have been absolutely wrecked and bodies wrecked by sin, and there's not a one of them that ever said, my goal in life is going to be an outcast on State Street in Chicago. Every one of them said, don't worry about me. Friend here this morning, if you're without Christ, God created you for himself. You'll never find life here or hereafter until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll never be safe from all the powers of evil and the lusts of your own flesh until you cast yourself upon Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, Peter's denied the Lord once, and I've got to hurry. Peter's denied the Lord once. So it says he went out, got up and went out in the porch, and another maid saw him. And notice the language. It says, she said to them that were there. The first girl just said to Peter, "You are also with Jesus. Mister, you with Jesus." The second one said to everybody else. The devil becomes more bold now, so to speak, and begins to ridicule Peter before those that are around about him. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And the Bible says that Peter took an oath. I don't know what kind of an oath he took. Oath's what you take when you get in a witness stand. Many people do. And he's just verifying that he's telling the truth. And he said with an oath, "I do not know the man." Now I think Peter was angry. He was angry. The devil had him exactly where he wanted. You could have brought on the Sanhedrin, the high priest, and the whole crowd. And Peter would have denied before everybody. And finally it says, there came to those that, to him they that stood by, the whole crowd around, and began to ridicule him and said, to put it in our language, "You can't fool us, you Galilean, why your speech even gives you away." Let me make an application out of this, by the way, to say, child of God, Christian, there where you are in your school, there where you are at your work, there wherever you are in your community, if your speech doesn't give you away the fact that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something wrong with your relationship to the Savior. If you can go day after day where you work, you can go day after day where you live, if you can go to school day after day, and your speech never gives, the way you talk never gives away the fact that you belong to Jesus, there's something wrong with your relationship to Him. But they began to ridicule Peter and say, "Why? Your speech even gives you away." And words began to flow from Peter's lips that had never escaped his mouth since before he met the Savior. And he cursed, and he swore, and he denied he'd ever known Jesus. And all of a sudden something happened. I told you it was early in the morning. A rooster hopped up on somebody's backyard fence and began to crow. I want to remind you that rooster didn't mean anything to anybody except one man, Peter. But to Peter, it might as well have been Gabriel blowing his horn of judgment. And three of the saddest words found in the Bible are the first three words of verse 75. And Peter remembered. Peter remembered. My dear friend, someday a circumstance will cause you to remember. If you're here this morning without Christ as your Savior, someday a circumstance, God may use a circumstance to cause you to remember. It may not be a rooster, it may be something else. But God will cause you to remember the opportunities that you've had to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It may not be till it's eternally too late. If you're here as a Christian this morning, and your life is not right with the Lord, and you've stood in your own strength, and you've followed Him afar off, and maybe you've even denied Him, there will come a day when a circumstance will cause you to remember. And the end of the path of sorrow is in those last words of verse 75, and he went out and wept bitterly. Peter the fisherman. I've always pictured him as being a great big guy. I don't know whether he was or not. I know he was bold. I know he was strong. Here is this great big fisherman going out and sobbing. Sobbing. Because he denied the Lord. That's the end of the path of sorrow. It's the way the story ends right here. But I read again just yesterday the words in the 20th chapter, I think it is, of the Gospel of John. No, excuse me. Last part of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. When the angel appeared at the resurrection of Christ to the women who came to the tomb, after Jesus Christ had died on the cross and paid the price of all of our sin once and for all forever, and then rose from the grave to demonstrate that the price of sin was paid and that He is the eternal Son of God, able to save whosoever will come unto Him. When the women came to the tomb, the angel said to those women, "He is not here, as He's risen, as He said. Go tell His disciples and Peter." Tell Peter that I want him, that God wants him, that Christ wants him. Go tell His disciples and Peter. My friend, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In closing, I'm glad to say to every Christian, I don't care, maybe you just started to stand in your own strength. Maybe you've started to follow far off. Maybe you've even denied the Lord. You know you're away from Him. I want to tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And God wants you. He wants to restore you, child of God. He wants to bring you back to the place of fellowship and power that you once knew. And friend, if you're here without Christ as your Savior, you've never received Him by faith as the one who died for you, don't play the part of a fool to go on without Him, standing in your own strength and say, I don't need Him. Because someday you'll remember. But I want to tell you, He wants you. For He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Jesus said, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. And this is still the day of God's grace, when the Bible says, whosoever will may come. I want to tell you, God says to you, you go tell My disciples and also tell John or Mary or Sam or Susie or whoever it may be, I want him to. I want her to.